about we just do movies starring all of us, like all the time? But then we're just rehashing the same old material.
There's nothing wrong with doing the exact same movie to start a franchise.
Okay, J.J. Abrams.
Okay, oh, okay, so you're on Cartman's side?
He just likes this plan because he gets two movies in phase one.
Guys, we have to just go with this plan. We don't even have one movie yet.
How did it get to this? How did we grow so far apart?
You go with the plan. Maybe we'll just go and do our own franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you want Civil War? Is that what you want? Yeah, dude, Civil War. You. Oh, you get out of my house.
We'll make way more money on our franchise.
Go ahead. I bet you don't even get halfway through phase one on your franchise, DC Comics.
Lights, camera, action. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour Films. As always, I am Ross Bacon, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mike McGuigan. Mike, say hi.
How is everyone doing?
And as you all know, we are a podcast who cracks open a beer and talks about some movies. Now, we have just ended Cage Madness, and we are in between again with our weeks. So we decided that we would just cover the Snyder Cut because and it's all the rage right now.
We can get really in depth with this more so than other ones since we're only talking about one. Well, I guess we technically could be talking about two movies, if we talk about the original versus the Snyder Cut. But, I'm pretty sure I blocked the original from my memory entirely, so.
Not me. I watched it before I watched this. I've seen the Snyder Cut twice. I fast-forwarded through the black and white version of it to get to the end to see if that deleted scene with the Joker was changed or not, was put in or not. I rewatched Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, the Ultimate Edition. So,
oh man, you are really subjugating yourself to some horror here.
I am up to my eyeballs in slow-mo, washed-out superheroes. So, before we get too crazy into it, why don't we get into what we're drinking to get through this goddamn movie? So, Mike, what do you have?
I am drinking the all-too-appropriate Bruce Juice.
There you go.
From Neck of the Woods Brewing Company.
Now, so I'm sure.
I don't have work tomorrow, so I went with an 8.2% or 8.19%. it's a hazy double IPA. Neck of the Woods Brewing is in Pittman, New Jersey, and as we all know, Is Bruce Wayne Batman? I've never seen the two in the same room before at the same time, but pretty sure Bruce Wayne's Batman.
Everyone seems to know in the Snyder Cut, too.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who he is. He's doing a real great job keeping it secret.
why even wearing the mask at some points, Bruce? Come on.
Right. The only person who doesn't know in this movie is Flash, and he finds out almost immediately. So... yeah, that's in that being said, I'm assuming their Bruce Juice probably refers to Springsteen.
I would think so.
Unless it's just some rando guy named Bruce at that.
Yeah, maybe it's Bruce Lee.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, Bruce Lee, famously known for drinking craft beer before getting in fights.
Bruce Willis? Maybe Bruce Willis
it's
is
probably
New Jersey.
Bruce Willis. That makes more sense for being Pittman. That's closer to Penns Grove or wherever the hell he's from.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm going to be drinking a combination of beers tonight because I'm going to go with familiar ones, and then I'm going to go with some random garbage, which seems to be a good summary of the Snyder Cut. Some familiar shit with a bunch of random garbage in it. So first off, I'm doing Salt and Sea by Flying Fish Brewing. Now, honestly, I can't remember if I've done this one before, but in the spirit of the Snyder Cut, if I have and you've heard me talk about it before, I'm just going to talk about it again in probably a little bit longer way. So that's
I was debating doing my leftover beers from previous episode, a rehash episode.
Yep. Yeah. And that's usually like my theme for the in-between weeks to just clean out the beer fridge a little bit. But this is a session sour ale brewed with strawberry and lime and 4.3%. And it's pretty good. It's not as tart as a lot of sours are. It's a little bit smoother, but it's still very much a sour, but it's pretty good. I enjoyed it. And like Flying Fish, pretty much everything they've made except for that raspberry one I had has been pretty good. They're a good brewery.
Flying Fish is a very hit or miss brewery for me. Yeah. I either really enjoy their beer or really don't.
Yeah, and they are in Somerdale, like we probably mentioned numerous times before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can get into it all. Oh, and there is a spoiler alert for this episode, not only for the movie, but we will also be going 4 hours and 2 minutes most of which will be in slow motion and just
establishing shots and
talking about nothing.
Every time Wonder Woman gets brought up, we are going to play that weird ass music that is probably racist. I'm not entirely it's an Amazonian race, so is it racist? Is it sexist? I don't. There's got to be something wrong with the amount of they use that song.
I think it's both. But yeah, oh god, that fucking song and some of the music in this goddamn show, in this movie, is like
pretty much
it's just bad.
Everything up until the final battle, when you're actually getting some score that goes pretty decently,
yeah,
is terrible. Like, what the fuck is the song that's playing when the Flash saves the girl from the car accident?
It's a Nick Cave song, and Nick Cave is the Red Right Hand guy, and all of his music is not as good as that song. Like, that's the only song that anybody should know about him.
And then, like, I think, so, some random things, pretty much everything going on with Amy Adams in this movie is kind of bad.
Oh, Amy Adams.
And I love Amy Adams. She's one of my favorite actresses.
Yeah. Don't go back and listen to our Amy Adams episode. It's the horrible quality. And but we have an Amy Adams episode. We may have to revisit her to do her some justice. But
yeah, anything involving Lois Lane in this movie just is awful.
Well, if we're going to bring that up, we got to talk about the first appearance of the added in Martian Manhunter character.
Oh, yeah.
Who shows up randomly to Lois's apartment as Martha Kent. So first you think it's about Diane Lane as Martha Kent, and they're talking, you know, hey, remember you were going to marry my dead son, blah, 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 blah. And then she's basically like, you know what? You got to get back to work. You know, it's the world needs a Lois Lane as well, or some shit like that. And Lois is like, okay, cool. Great talking. You have a little coffee. All right. See you later. So then she leaves the apartment, and in the hallway, her eyes glow red and you're like, oh wait, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden she's Martian Manhunter. And then he turns into the general from Man of Steel, and he turns over his shoulder and says, the world needs a Lois too. It's like, wait, what?
Who are you saying that to, Martian Manhunter? Who are you saying that to?
Yeah, and you're also Martian Manhunter, who is basically Superman with an aversion to fire. You know, you could be Superman. What the fuck are you doing? Why are you pretending to be this random woman talking to Lois Lane? Oh, for one, if Lois sees the actual Martha Kent at some point, he's gonna be like, hey, remember when you came to my apartment in New York? And Martha's gonna be like, what the fuck are you talking about? I haven't been in Metropolis. No, you remember you came, we had coffee, you talked about me going back to work? No. Well, I've been working
also
foreclosed. What the fuck are you talking
also about? They bring up Metropolis and Gotham City several times, and I'm like, where's the distinguishing between the two of them in this movie? I'm pretty sure it's all just New York. I think Gotham is like Harlem, and then Metropolis is like South Set. It's like
well, with Batman versus Superman. And I know in the comics, Metropolis and Gotham are essentially the same distance apart in the comics as New York. And it's either Baltimore or like Camden distance.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of that far away from each other. But sometimes they're like right next to each other. And up like in Batman versus Superman, they're right across the bay from each other, the harbor from each other.
So it's like what, New York City and Jersey City?
Essentially, yeah. It's like they're like right across the water from each other. But
oh, I apologize if I'm watching my mom's dog. So if you hear dogs whining, that's Nico.
Nice. Yeah. Z is asleep on the floor next to me. So if she tries to climb me, she'll make her appearance as usual. But so it might be a Zack Snyder cut and animal appearance of podcast tonight.
Yeah,
Snyder cut and pets. But yeah, so like in this movie, it's just kind of like one in the same. Like there is no real difference between the two because there doesn't really need to be. You know,
yeah.
It's I think there's one scene in actual Metropolis, and that's the Superman fight when they bring him back, and. Just because that memorial is actually in Metropolis, I think.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like we're in Themyscira for a long time, and everything involving Themyscira in this movie is 120 times better than anything in Wonder Woman 1984. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah, I haven't subjected myself to Wonder Woman 1984 yet.
I think it's back on HBO Max, but again, I wouldn't fucking bother. It's terrible.
All right, before we trash this too much, should we talk about what we like about
that's the thing. I actually enjoyed this movie. There yeah. are parts, there's a lot of it that could have been chopped out and it would have been much, much better. But at the root, it is still a Zack Snyder movie. So there is a certain amount of suck to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, so obviously the runtime is a major issue. Like, I'm only willing to subject to myself 3 hour plus movies for like Lord of the Rings. And I know you're not willing to do that.
No. But it's like the irony is like, this is the type of movie that I would rather watch 4 hours of, you know, if it's done well. And I actually did the research. It's listed as 4 hours and 2 minutes. Now that is double the theatrical cut, which was like 1 hour and 59 by Warner Brother decree. And the actual movie time without credits is 3 hours and 53 minutes.
I think the magic number would have been 2 hours and 40 minutes.
I think you probably shaved that down a little more.
Cut 1 hour and 20 minutes off of this thing.
Oh, easily. Yeah, absolutely. But like by comparison, Man of Steel is 2 hours and 28 minutes. And that movie, for as, you know, shit, as much shit as it gets, I rewatched it. It's not a terrible movie. It goes a lot faster than I remember. Mm-hmm. And it definitely doesn't feel like 2 hours and 28 minutes.
That's definitely on the, not the highest tier of DCEU movies. I low bar set, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, we're not clearing high art here.
I mean, like, Wonder Woman is probably what I would say is the best DCEU movie.
Yeah, that or Aquaman. You know, I had a lot of fun rewatching.
Also enjoyed Shazam a certain amount.
That was okay. Yeah. I had a lot of fun watching Aquaman. I rewatched that after the first time I watched.
My mom loves Aquaman. I think she loves David Momoa.
Jason Momoa.
God, sorry.
David Momoa is his white brother.
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, the young Jewish Aquaman is David Momoa.
You know, Jason Momoa. I think my mom likes him more than the actual movie.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. And oh yeah, and we'll get into the fun differences between the movies in this one that, you know, there's a lot of interesting questions that would have been raised. But then again, you have to look at this as having potentially would have come out in 2017. So like, yeah, it makes it even funnier when you think
that's what, so it's so hard to evaluate this movie because you can't necessarily evaluate it even in the DCEU because it doesn't really fit in the DCEU.
It's like an Elseworlds movie.
But I feel like because I enjoyed Aquaman and Wonder Woman, like, I feel like I almost have to. Now, with Wonder Woman, there's not a big issue or anything like that in terms of the differences.
Well, you just get, unfortunately, you just get a lot more Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
And that's an issue.
Yeah, she's not a great actress by any means.
No, she is absolutely not. And the irony is, she's much better in Batman versus Superman because she's barely in it.
Yeah. And it's Wonder Woman is what I would consider the best DCEU movie in spite of her not being a very good actress.
Right. Because she somehow like works in that. The reason that's kind of funny to watch is because they made the other Amazons have Gal Gadot's accent, you know, to make it work. It's like if everybody in a Schwarzenegger movie had to talk like him.
Damn it, Gal Gadot, you haven't earned the right to just have an accent in the movie.
Exactly.
Without question. There needs to be reasoning behind your accent. You're not Michael Caine or Sean Connery or Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. You haven't earned it.
The right to show up in America with a totally foreign accent with no one questioning it.
right. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a female actress that like has that kind of accent that no one ever questions, but I don't think there is one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Because most of them are good enough to be able to affect an American accent, or
yeah,
they just play whatever their character is, you know?
I feel like if there were to be one, is it Maggie Turner that plays Maggie Smith? Maggie Smith plays Professor McGonagall and in Harry Potter, and the Duchess in I can't think of that show.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. If she showed up in America with and played an American with no reason behind her having a distinct British accent, I wouldn't question it. Maggie Smith, you've earned that right.
Exactly. Yeah, but it's like, but Gal Gadot is just so weak. It's like everything with her that's added in is, it's so much better than what we had. It's so much better than the previous movie, because, and this is where the biggest differences are. All the stuff in the Joss Whedon version, it came out in 2017, the theatrical cut, we'll call it. Everything that's in there that involves Wonder Woman or even the Amazons is all very either sexualized or women are weak. Like, yeah. They're made to be very weak. Because Joss Whedon's an asshole. And he added that stupid scene where Flash accidentally falls on top of Diana and like is laying on top of her on her boobs and all that. It's like, why? In what world is that necessary? You know?
Now, I do like the line in this where the Flash is like, you think Wonder Woman would go for a younger guy? And then Cyborg's like, she's 5,000 years old. She only goes for younger guys.
Every guy's a younger guy. I was like, all right, legitimate laugh. That's a good joke right there.
But that's also, Cyborg is my biggest praise for this movie.
Well, yeah, because he actually gets a story.
And he has easily the best story in it. Like, he is the best character in this movie.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, he's kind of the main character-ish, you know?
Yeah.
As far as this movie has a main character, you know, because there's a lot of different shit going on in this movie. But
Ray Fisher kills it. Like, he's easily the most captivating. Him and his relationship with his father and his whole backstory, and easily the most captivating part of this movie, besides like the 45 minute awesome battle, because honestly that was pretty sick.
Which one, the final one?
Yeah
that one's that's a lot done a lot better. And that's the other thing with this movie, like I said, it's everything with the theatrical cut that Whedon added in was to add jokes, which don't work. They're stupid. They're sexist. They're awful and just bad. And then there's like shots of like Wonder Woman's like up Wonder Woman's ass a couple times. It's like, come on, man, what are you doing? And then you look at Zack Snyder, where it's the complete opposite. The Amazons, it's like 300, but with muscular, gorgeous women. You know, and it's like these women are treated as like the badasses that they are.
Yeah.
And at no point are you like meant to get a boner watching them, you know, whereas with Whedon, you're like every time he's like, hey, look up her ass, you know, hey, I love women. I'm an asshole, you know.
But of course, we do get the song that the biggest gripe I have with this movie is that fucking song.
Yeah, it's like Enya.
It's so. I mean, with the first like 2/3 of the movie, it comes up every time she does something cool, which she doesn't do that much cool in the first 2/3 of the movie. But then you get to the final battle where every time they cut to her, they cut away from the epic score so that they can play that. And it's kind of funny.
Yeah, they don't have, like, in Batman versus Superman, they only have it in a little bit. It's towards the end. It's when they add that, like, shredding guitar, like, soundtrack that she had in Batman versus Superman, which is, in that movie, when that happens, it's a laughable part, because it's just out of nowhere, and it's so hilarious, because it's like, and then there's, like, these drum, like, Fury Road drums and shit. And then in this, they only put that at the end in like the bigger battle. Like the shredding guitar kind of shows up in the hostage scene that she foils, which is it goes on a little bit longer and plays out a little bit differently than it does in the theater.
And it's still her running through blocking the bullets is so fucking goofy looking.
Yeah, the CGI is not good, but it's, and it's also because she has to like throw her arms out and it just doesn't look right. She's not doing it with any real style until the end.
No. And was that Bruce Bolton that did that?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, the Lannisters send their regards, Wonder Woman. But yeah, it's everything with her. Yeah, that fucking song. And I don't know. It's such a pointless like change. Like, why would you change her soundtrack from what it is before? You know? And
just why does it play every time she does? Like, it's not just when she makes an entrance. It's
every
not,
time.
It's every time she comes on screen, that song comes on. Like, it's like, it'd be hilarious if they had a scene where, like, you just hear a toilet flush, she walks out of the bathroom, and you hear that song play. You see her flipping some, you see her making some pancakes, that song's playing. She's, like, looking around, like, where the fuck is this coming from?
What is happening right now? But it's also, like, we see that it's not just, It becomes just her theme song because she's the one that's in the rest of the movie, but they do play it for all of the Amazons. Yeah. So it is kind of like the Amazon theme. But
painting a portrait because she's an artist, right? In this,
she's restoring that. She's like that art restorer that she is in Wonder Woman 84, but it's she's like restoring that like statue or whatever. And
yeah, she's restoring a statue. All her coworkers are like, "What the fuck is that?" She's like, "Ignore it. I can't turn it off."
Right. Yeah, my cell phone's stuck on this song. I can't change it. I apologize.
It's like that episode of Family Guy where Peter Griffin wishes that he had like a theme song. So right. Whenever he's doing so, and the guy's like, "Turn it off." He's like, "I can't."
It's like, just live with it. I can't. You know, but there's. Yeah, everything, and Gal Gadot is just, she's not a good actress, and especially now that because then there's the big scene where you get, it's, for me, it's actually the best scene in the movie, and I kind of wish they had a little bit more, and it wasn't narrated over. It's the scene explaining the first time Darkseid invaded, and it's, in the theatrical cut, it's just Steppenwolf, because Darkseid is not in the theatrical cut. Mm-hmm. He's alluded to, but he is not in the movie. So he is a new addition for this movie. And in the original theatrical cut, it's just Steppenwolf. You see the Green Lanterns. You see some of the other, you see Atlanteans. You see Amazons. You see basically like some family or house from Game of Thrones is fighting in this war. And then you see a couple other things. Like you get a hint of Hercules in there. He's not quite
Zeus
in it.
They're like, they name Zeus and stuff in this.
Yeah, one. Like Hercules, Zeus, and all that. Like the whole thing gets changed because it gets expanded. Mm-hmm. But with having, they should have had it be Ben Affleck or Bruce Wayne stumbles across this stuff somehow in his research. And he's the one that tells the story. And Gal Gadot's kind of like, oh, I right, I heard this mythology as well growing up as an Amazon. And that's it. Like, you don't need her trying to force Atlanteans out of her fucking mouth, which she can't do.
Now, I did think that that scene was awesome, but there are two things from that scene that drive me crazy. Is A, somehow Darkseid forgot that Earth is where that fucking happened.
Yeah. Yep. And well, you conquer a million worlds, you're bound to forget the tiny ones.
I suppose, but like, you think if the one planet that managed to fight you off, you think you'd remember that one, right?
Yeah, you probably would.
The planet with that thing you were searching for, you think be like, oh, mark down this location. We're going to come back here and fuck shit up.
Right. Yeah, yellow sun, third planet, got it.
Now, the other thing is, why is it always humans are the ones that forget the fucking, like the Amazonians have the mythology and know what the box is. The Atlanteans have the mythology and know what the box is. Why do humans always fucking forget?
It's probably because, you know, record keeping from the time was spotty at best. And they were just kind of like figuring out how not to have dysentery, you know? So they were like, oh,
Zeus
right.
Probably too horny fucking some people to remember, like,
It's like, remember that horror box we buried in the woods? No, what are you talking about? All right, cool.
And then somehow always the Nazis find this shit.
Yeah, it's always Nazis. That would have been great if like that came up somehow. Like we get some sort of like Nazi like comes in. It's just like, oh yeah, we know about that. We did some experiments with it. We buried it back in Norway or whatever the fuck.
Well, I think when Cyborg's explaining, he brings up that the Nazis are who found it or something.
I don't remember that.
He brings up something about the Nazis with the mother box.
And I think he's talking about just like human experimentation in general.
No, he was talking about the box. Like they were experimenting on it, and then the Allies like took it away in terms of like they were trying to transport it, and that's how they came to acquire the box.
Sure. I mean, why not?
I watched it today, so I think I remember.
Sure, why not? Who cares? It's like,
but yeah, the Nazis always find this shit. They find the fucking Tesseract. They
find everything. Why not? Yeah, if it's a cube with power, they're gonna find it apparently. But yeah, and then man, like, but that whole scene, like adding Darkseid in, makes sense because then you get a reason why he would want to be like want to fuck up Earth, you know? Yeah. And that's why like Steppenwolf would want to please him, because he goes to Earth and is trying to find, like, Steppenwolf gets a goddamn story in this movie. And it's not just in the theatrical cut when it's kind of like mother boxes, mother, like that's his entire character. It's just mother now, boxes.
I did like, I wish that they let I always forget how to pronounce, is it Kieran or Ciaran or
Kieran? It's the Kieran Killian Hines. It's the Killian Murphy situation. It's Kieran Hines.
I wish Kieran Hines like was actually allowed to be better than he is.
I mean,
because he's awesome.
Yeah, he is. He's a great actor, but in this, it's like modulation with random dialogue that he repeats a couple times. You know, the whole, he does say when he plugs in the mother boxes both times, he's asked where the first time he plugs the first one in, Desaad forms, and he's like, where are the other mother boxes? And he's like, oh, the parademons are out hunting, they're following the scent, blah blah blah. And then he plugs the second one in and Desaad shows up. He's like, where's the third one? And he says literally almost the exact same dialogue the first time. So it's like, okay. You're literally repeating yourself now at this point, Zach.
That's, yeah, there's a lot to be true. Now, there are good things about this movie, but, and I do enjoy the movie for at least parts.
It needed a good editing. You know, what it should have done was take everything that Whedon did, whatever he cut, take out his scenes that he added, put back some of Snyder's shit, not all of it, just a little bit that would explain some stuff, give Cyborg his story back, keep the Flash origin, like the Saving Iris West scene in, which just, it's a cool scene, and it kind of gives you an introduction to the Flash and his power.
That's, the Flash definitely got he's improved, but Cyborg got most improved.
Yeah, because, I mean, for, you know, obviously for worse, Ezra Miller's Flash, which they should have, I've maintained from day one, they should have kept Grant Gustin, the dude that plays him on the CW show. They should have just brought him in. You know, been like, dude, you play that character really well. Now you can play him like an actual character and not a television show character.
But, you know, they definitely were trying to, with the kind of slower, calm song with him doing the super speed scene, they were trying to replicate the X-Men Days of Future Past Quicksilver scene. Yeah, which that scene is a fucking masterpiece. That scene's awesome.
Yeah, the time in a bottle scene. And you could do that. And it's the, again, it's the irony with Zack Snyder. Like, he loves slow motion. Mm-hmm. And doing that with a speedster is the perfect way to depict his powers. And he somehow, he almost gets it. He almost gets it. Like, we spend way too much time on that fucking hamburger seed falling. You know, we spend way too much time on hot dogs flying through the air. We get the longest creepiest eye contact between Flash, who's moving at regular speed for him, and a essentially captive frozen Iris West. And she's never even given a name in this. We're led to believe that's who that is. You know, you just have to put that together from knowing Flash like stories.
Yeah. And so with the, also my huge thing with the Flash is, you're telling me a fucking minion had the ultimate anti-stormtrooper aim, fuckers moving faster than the speed of light, and they're like, and they snipe him.
That dude is like, every time I was watching that, it reminded me of like the old school American Gladiator show where they did that like tennis ball gun where they'd shoot people moving from station to station. It was kind of like that, because he's following him in this like the little light blip that's going around. And he kind of just times it and he hits it. It's like, come on, there is no way that goddamn mosquito hit him.
And then, so, and with the final battle, as cool as it is, like, Batman very much takes, like, despite being the driving force that gets the Justice League together, Batman takes a back seat for most of the movie.
He disappears for most of the movie.
And
he just fucks off. He's gone doing shit.
Aquaman is totally different from his character in Aquaman.
All right, so let's get into the Aquaman differences. This, like we said, would have come out in 2017. Aquaman came out, I believe, December of 2017, or was it 2018? Either way, it was supposed to be the follow-up. 18 was Aquaman. All right, so that was the follow-up to this. And the craziest thing is, I rewatched, like I said, after I watched the Snyder Cut the first time, I watched Aquaman after that. In that movie, Mira does not have a British accent.
Yeah.
No one in Atlantis has a British accent. Yet Mira is like straight out of fucking Foggy London Town. What is going on with Amber Heard in this fucking movie?
She's being replaced, right? Like, that finally is actually happening.
Oh yeah, she's gone. She's gone. Her and her.
That was a big fight for a while. Like, they're like, oh, we're still gonna keep her, and everyone was like, what the fuck? Why?
I mean, she brings nothing to the role. She's fine in Aquaman to get with, because she and Jason Momoa have some chemistry, but I find it hard to believe that anybody cannot have chemistry with Jason Momoa. You know, he just seems he works with everybody.
Is it Daenerys? Is Emilia Clarke taking over the role?
I hope so. That'd be great. Get Khal Drogo and Daenerys back together. That'd be awesome. But yeah, so she's got this fucking British accent. Then there's Dafoe, who's got long ass hair,
luscious locks. Dude's got flow.
And the best part is, he's only there to be like, here, take your costume for the Aquaman movie.
Yeah.
Take your mom's trident. Oh, by the way, at your feet, there's a you know, some armor you can wear. I know you just like wearing jeans and that's it. But, you know, here's
some armor. And then, how about the girl that is, that just sort of picks up his shirt and smells it?
No. I do not want to think about that girl. She is creepy as fuck.
But you would think she'd have some significance here.
You think so, considering she's clearly a stalker. You know?
And what fucking song were they singing?
I don't know. It's some Icelandic fucking village like to him. But that's the thing. Like, I picture, because Aquaman has shown numerous times ripping his shirts off, or jackets and shirts off, to get into the water in just his pants. Now, the beginning, he rips his jacket off and his sweater, and the women of the village sing him this like funeral dirge as he goes out to sea, one of which picks up his sweater and sniffs it like a war widow. And it's just creepy as fuck. Like, later, it's the scene in the theatrical cut where he's walking out of the bar, chugging the whiskey, and Icky Thump is fucking playing for some reason. In this movie, it's another Nick Cave song, or it's like Hallelujah or some shit, some slow fucking song.
But for some reason, every scene gets a slow fucking song.
Yeah. And it's so wrong. Like, I'm not saying Icky Thump is the right song to play, because absolutely not, but it would be better than the, like I said, the funeral dirge soundtrack that we get for this movie. And when he does
imagine
that,
they just start playing Monty Python over all the like Monty Python
just playing
songs.
Whatever, like the llama song or something from the beginning of Holy Grail. Like, just play that.
They play, like, They play the lumberjack song.
Right. Yeah, just something like that. Or like the which way did that fishy go? Like all of that.
Bravely
shit.
Brave Sir Robin.
Right, exactly. Just something else. But like when he
in the epilogues, they play always look on the bright side of
exactly.
life.
Yeah, but so when he's walking down the dock and he rips off his like shirt and he chucks it, I was waiting for that girl to like run up behind him, grab it, and like start sniffing it. So like everywhere he goes and he just rips a piece of clothing off, this girl follows him and just picks his clothes
you
up.
You think he'd start wearing like bathing suits or something instead of like jeans?
It's the Incredible Hulk uniform, basically. It's just jeans. It's all he needs. Tattered jeans. In this case, it's like low-rise jeans because you got to show
I forget. I haven't seen Watch Aquaman in a little bit. Are his eyes the same?
They are not. In the Aquaman movie, his eyes are gold. In this movie, they are white. Now, I will give Snyder credit. I think that's a better look.
Yeah, I think it looks cool.
Eyes. I think he looks pretty damn cool with the white eyes. But yeah, it's so much. I almost want to see what Snyder would have done with Atlantis if given the chance, you know, just to see if it's basically like, you know, London and like Cockney accents, but underwater. And fucking Peaky Blinders, but with Aquaman.
Fucking they it's give instead of Patrick Wilson playing Orm, they get like Jason Statham. Like
right. Jason Statham or like Cillian Murphy, or they get like or they just throw in some random like British actor and just like change it all up. Just for some reason make it, you know, British Atlantis plus, you know, Jason Momoa, who is just Hawaiian, you know. But yeah, it's the Atlantis stuff is so goddamn weird.
Throw in Tom Hardy with his accent from right. like Legend.
Yeah, just somebody, you know, just make something weird, because where the fuck did Amber Heard get this idea? I mean, you know, it had to have been Zack Snyder was like, okay, make it like King Arthur, like it's royalty. And she's like, oh, so British? And he's like, yeah, sure. You know, it's like there's no other royalty but British royalty. So that's the way to go with.
And like the fact, so in terms of runtime, the fact that he was giving three characters, roughly, origin stories to a degree, like, you're... And then I'm going to get to my biggest gripe with the movie, which is the Superman conflict. While the conflict itself is kind of interesting, like the actual battle, the actual conflict, A, Cyborg had never had his threat detector things override him before. B, that feels so rushed in a 4-hour fucking movie.
Well, that's the thing. And most of the stuff with Cyborg, like the self-defense mechanism and all that, like that would have been fleshed out great if we did a Cyborg movie before this.
Yeah, and maybe, hell, they could have done Steppenwolf as the villain for the Cyborg movie.
Yeah, I mean, you just somehow establish that Cyborg has, like, they kind of established that he's learning how to deal with this shit, obviously. Yeah. And at some point, he does, like, a training montage where he turns into Iron Man for a little bit. And then he could, at that point, somehow show the self-defense mechanism show up. Like, just it's, again, like, in a 4-hour and 2-minute, like you said, it feels rushed. Just add that fucking scene into it, make it 4 hours and 3 minutes, you know, and just add that little part in there that, like, foreshadows the fact that, uh-oh, it's work, it goes against him. It happens at the worst times, you know, like a boner in math class. It's like, it happens at the worst times. But with Cyborg in any of this movie, for one, he got fleshed out, which is great because fuck Joss Whedon, that racist prick. And then there's this movie where Zack Snyder was clearly like, Cyborg's my main character. I need to explain, because I don't have a Cyborg movie to do it for me. I need to, for the most part, explain how this guy is the way he is. Now, do I need to see Cyborg going into the internet and stalking a random woman and then giving her some money? No, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see him playing Good Samaritan to a woman who is like been evicted, can't afford rent, all he can't afford groceries.
I mean, I think that's whatever. A character establishing scene.
It is, but it's not. They don't do it the right way.
Yeah.
And because they've never met in real life, except for at the end when he watches her take her prize winnings from the bank out of the, she gets a prize winnings. Now, for one, you need that other scene where it goes one of two ways, where she goes and meets somebody from the bank and says, hey, thank you so much for having that contest that I won. And they go, I'm sorry. And then she says, you know, the one where I won 100 grand. And they were like, oh, you got 100 grand from this bank, huh? This officer over here would love to talk to you about how that happened. And then the mysterious deposit in her account. Yeah, she goes to jail. Her kids are taken away from her, and Cyborg has now ruined her life. But we just don't. I need that to be someone he actually knows, like a sister or something, you know?
Yeah. Now, some of the dialogue in it is just so bad too. Like some of the lines the Amazons get early on are awful.
Yeah, like it's kind of a cool moment when they say, Amazon, show him your fear. We have no fear. Like it's like, okay, that's kind of cool. But like, yeah, pretty much everything else they say is just
and like, then you wow. Like with some of the other non-Gal Gadot Amazons doing the Gal Gadot accent.
I mean, that's just, you're stuck with it because that's what they did in Wonder Woman, you know?
Yeah.
With this, he gave Mira a fucking British accent that they weren't going to keep. Why couldn't they just give them like British accents too? They didn't have to make them sound Israeli.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. Now, what are some other things? There was a lot with this movie. It's 4 fucking hours, so of course there's going to be a lot. Like that they gave Alfred more time.
Yes. Absolutely. Goddamn-lutely. Jeremy Irons. And a little bit more Commissioner Gordon. We get a little more J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, if only we could have gotten all J.K. Simmons. Just, you know what? I'm just going to watch Whiplash instead, so I get all J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, There's so many questions raised by this movie, and we haven't even gotten to Zack Snyder's Suicide Squad at the end.
Yeah. Like,
there are so many questions that, like, what if we got the solo versions of each character's movie? So you get a Ben Affleck Batman with a Jeremy Irons Alfred, you know, and a Commissioner Gordon, J.K. Simmons, mm-hmm. Commissioner Gordon, like all three in the movie with lines, with stories, with the ability to be memorable. That would have been fucking great.
Which that's the biggest issue like this movie faced was it's a DCEU movie and they decided they were going to skip all of phase one Marvel and go straight for the Avengers.
it's so fucking, it pisses me off as a giant Batman fan. And by extension, I am, of the two, DC, Marvel, I am a DC guy.
But I'm a Marvel guy.
Yeah, and it pisses me off that I don't want Warner Brothers and DC to do what Marvel did in the movies. I don't want them to turn DC into the jokey, family-friendly, please everyone movies that Marvel did. Now, I'm not saying those movies aren't fun to watch, and a lot of them aren't great, but because they are.
Works for Marvel. Marvel is, generally speaking, a more lighthearted comic book.
Exactly. And the way that they went about doing it is the way you need to do it, is you tell your individual stories, then you do your team-up story. And what Warner Brothers did, they've forever had Batman and Superman. That's just the two big money makers for them. We're never getting away from those two having their own movies. I'm fine with it. That's just the history of those two. But when you jump into an MCU world and you try to create a DCEU, now you have to do what Marvel did. You have to set up the individuals before you do your team movie, or else that shit won't work.
Yeah, because this would be like if Marvel was just like, all right, we're going to have Captain America, and then we're going to have Captain America Civil War, and then we're going to go to the Avengers.
Right. And have the original Captain America have no play whatsoever into Civil War, you know, have the events of that and everything established in that not really have only little parts of it play into the bigger team up movie, which is what Man of Steel is. Man of Steel is that it parts, it leads directly into Batman versus Superman, which is the best part of those two movies because it actually ties the two together and makes sense for why Bruce Wayne would be completely pissed off at Superman and want revenge. Whereas when that turn, the Martha scene happens in that movie, and they become, they pull the stepbrothers and do we become best friends? And then all of a sudden, Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis as Bruce Wayne is just suddenly he's devoted to keeping a promise to Superman that he didn't really make. And in this movie, in the theatrical cut, it's much worse because that's the storyline for Bruce, is the whole redemption, trying to redeem himself because he feels guilty for Superman dying. In this movie, it's just trying to get the team together to defeat the giant bad, which is what should happen. Yeah. That is the story that should be told. Now, what you need
except everything that he does gathering the team, that should be your post-credit scenes, like fucking Marvel.
Exactly. And that's the stuff you need to set up, because Batman is your central character, especially if your plan is to kill off Superman. And Batman is the guy in the comics that is the strategist. He is the one that puts these teams together. He's the one that comes up with all of the plans. So it only makes sense to have him be your mastermind of all of this stuff. Now, when you're facing intergalactic, you know, immortals, essentially new gods like Darkseid, does it make sense to send a human that can grapple with grappling guns and smoke bombs up there? Not really. But does it make sense that he's put together a team of superhumans? Yes, it does. And so that's what Zack Snyder has done in this.
And Martian Manhunter could have fucking helped.
Exactly. And he's clearly there. He wants to get involved. What the fuck? Why did he have to wait till the very end when everything was over to jump in?
By the way, I already know what our fucking opener is going to be. It's going to be the South Park scene where they're trying to build the Coon universe and they're arguing about it and they're like, well, you know what? we're just going to go straight for Civil War. He's like, oh, you're going to go straight for Civil War? All right, DCEU.
Right. Yeah. It's, yeah. And so everything in this movie just makes you want to see the individual movies more, because everything with Cyborg, they should have given Ray Fisher a starring vehicle to be Cyborg. We should have gotten Aquaman before this.
I should clarify, the Coon is Cartman's superhero persona in South Park. It is meant to be a play on words where he is a raccoon themed superhero and it's South Park and they are trying to play those issues
right.
Didn't sound right the way I said it initially.
It's also the underlying unspoken joke is that it is racist.
Yeah. You
know? That is the underlying unspoken joke.
Yeah. Well, Cartman is racist.
Cartman is racist. Yes. Yes. That's the thing. But what we should have gotten is we should have gotten Cyborg movie. We did get Wonder Woman before this. We should have gotten Aquaman before this. We should have gotten a Ben Affleck as Batman movie because we got Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. We should have gotten Flash beforehand because then we would somehow set up, and I would say you would need Flash before Batman versus Superman as well, because that sets up the fact that he can fucking time travel, which happens in this movie as well. So at some point you need to know that, and you need to see that in a Flash movie. And the only one we don't really need of an actual movie, like if you're going to cut somebody, I would argue that you probably could cut the Flash movie.
Yeah, you could pull a Spider-Man in Civil War type of thing with the Flash.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could do that with him. Like, you can have him, because the way they mention it in this works. And because Barry's like, look, if I go too fast, if I go past the speed of light, weird shit happens with time. It's like, oh, okay. We've now established that. And now it makes the scene in Batman versus Superman a little more sense. Not a lot, because it still comes out of fucking nowhere in that movie. But at least we have the fact that we have established this power that he can do that. Not everyone who's not a fan that doesn't know about the Flash in the comics doesn't know. It isn't familiar with the Flashpoint storyline or any time he's ever gone back in time. And then people aren't like, wait, the Flash can turn back time? It's like, what are you talking about? You know, you get these little things. Now, if you're not going to put out the money to do the Marvel version of this, what you should do is somehow put on your Blu-rays, on your bonus cuts, on your bonus features, you put little mini stories you get the full version of the clips that Batman looks at in Batman versus Superman. You get the full underwater scene with Aquaman. You get the full convenience store scene with Flash. You get the full creation of Cyborg, that scene that you get. You've already got the Wonder Woman movie, so you don't need to see how that picture happens. But you just get these like 5-minute clips or so, 5-minute things, and that builds up to your big movie if you're not willing to do the full feature length buildup. Mm-hmm. Then you have something to build off of, and Zack Snyder can put this movie together and have it make sense in his own special way. You know? That's,
you could also go the route like, why can't I remember the movie's name? It's kaiju movie. Big monster comes out of the ocean, attacks
Godzilla?
Found footage style.
Cloverfield.
So the way Cloverfield does it is like they make all these websites that are like, and it's like, go to this website to see this. So you can do the whole media thing where you're like, all right, I got to go to this website to actually get what's going on here. I got to do this.
Yeah. And like, so all that shit would make sense. And it would make this movie, it would make this movie's lack of explanation make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need to explain this shit again, because people have seen it, or you can at least have a reasonable understand or belief that people have seen it, or at least had the opportunity to see it. But with this, there's so much, and again, it's the irony is this movie is so much better than the theatrical version
because it
gets time to set shit up, even though it doesn't fully do it well. It does still has the chance to.
That's what one of the things I think the legacy of this movie is going to be is I think it's going to be considered a better movie than it actually is by fans, just because it's going to be compared to the theatrical release, which is diarrhea reheated in a microwave on a plate.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's so much, like we said, about this movie, and most of it, for me at least, it worked. It's tough to watch because, again, it's 4 hours and 2 minutes, or 3 hours and 53 minutes. And again, and now I didn't do this research, but someone else did, and I love them for it. 10% of this movie is in slow motion.
Yeah.
10% of the movie. And so that works out to be roughly 24 minutes or so are in slow motion. In a 2-hour movie, that is most of your movie.
Your slow motion shots should, if I'm doing this movie, my slow motion shots are going to be exclusive to the Flash.
Yeah.
And then maybe some epic scenes during the final battle. That is where you use your slow motion. Yeah. Like the Avengers, where you get the slow motion circle of them in the battle for New York. That's fine. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where like the Michael Bay style of filmmaking would perfectly work. That's work. But like Zack Snyder's version is he focuses the slow-mo on the dumbest shit. You know, it's like at the end, there's a bullet casing that like a cannon casing that falls, and we focus on that for a little bit.
Focus on the Flash poking a sword towards Wonder Woman.
The Flash's goddamn powers in this movie involve super speed and poking shit. You know? That's all he does. And the weirdest thing is, in the theatrical cut, there is a line where Barry says, all I've ever done is run fast and push people. Okay, leave that goddamn line in, because that's all he does in this movie.
Now, Jeremy Irons gets one of my favorite lines in the movies where he's like, are you sure that the team's strong enough? Because if you can't be the bull, you shouldn't be waving the red flag in its face.
And of course, you get the terrible line after that of, well, this red flag charges back. It's like,
yeah.
All right. You know, it's like exasperated sigh.
Then the other exasperated sigh line is Barry asks Batman, he's like, oh, what's your superpowers again? And he's like, I'm rich.
Yeah, one of the lines that actually did survive into the theatrical cut, which I honestly would have thought would have been a Joss Whedon ad. But Mike, I'm going to stop. I'm going to interrupt things right now. End of part one. So now we're going to do a beer check-in in between part two. So how's your beer?
Doing great. I'm on my second one. Don't have work tomorrow.
Nice.
In terms of like a hazy double IPA, not super hoppy. You don't get that that pine tree thing that people complain about. Really drinkable in terms of an 8.19% beer.
Nice.
So yeah, Neck of the Woods Brewing in Pittman. Go try Bruce Juice. Bruce there Wayne Juice.
Nice. Yeah, and my Salt and Sea, Flying Fish Salt and Sea is really good. I had down two of those. And now I'm on to Reckoner by Rusty Rail Brewing. And Rusty Rail is in Mifflinburg, PA. It is alcohol is 8.0%. So a little bit weaker than Mike's. But yeah, the Reckoner is, he just looks like the can art looks like a big old dark side type of super villain type of dude. And he's holding like a trident and it looks like he's doing some evil shit. So he is the reckoning.
Do you find it weird that Steppenwolf is Darkseid's uncle?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, well, talk about fucking up in your life, you know?
Yeah.
Your nephew is taking over. But
so are you telling me that he is Scar in terms of the New Gods?
Pretty much.
Because I would have appreciated a backstory on Steppenwolf on what he did to fuck up so bad that he has to conquer 50,000 planets.
100,000, because he's already done 50,000. Yeah. You know, so he's got 50,000 left. But yeah, and so now that we are officially in part two, the rest of this shit is what I'll call it. Let's get into the villain and get into Darkseid and what we were robbed of in the theatrical cut.
So he's very chrome.
He is a very, yeah. Well, Steppenwolf got a design upgrade in this. Yeah. Apparently the original version was supposed to look like he had chrome plating and like fin.
He looks like a middle schooler's bike, chrome everywhere.
Yeah, it's really like, It's a better design than that weird ass fucking hobgoblin shit we got in the theatrical cut. But at the same time, it's like,
it looks like someone sprayed primer on him and never actually painted him.
Right. And he's just like, he's like one big scar tissue of him, like a creature, you know? Because his horn, his helmet's horn are actually horns. Mm-hmm. Or like cartilage or some shit. I mean, the character in the comics is a for all intents and purposes, it's a man, you know, it's a humanoid person with a helmet that looks like that, you know? Because they kept Darkseid for the most part true to the design in the comics.
Yeah.
He's not as physically imposing as Darkseid is, because Darkseid's a very broad-shouldered monster of a human, like of a humanoid kind of alien. But in this, Darkseid's got he's got some narrow shoulders, you know, he's just kind of like a naked bald dude, you know, with like a weird, like wrestling, like, you know, like head, like ear thing on, you know?
And also, Darkseid being one of the most powerful people in the DC universe, there's a portal open to Earth where Darkseid could very easily go in and fix this shit and win this battle. And he's just sitting there staring like, let's see how this plays out.
And he's literally doing that. Like, you just did his exact expression. He's like leaning on one hand. He's got his arm over his face. He's just kind of like leaning forward, just like watching. Like, he's watching TV, you know?
He's just like, let me watch my fuck up of an uncle get his ass kicked.
Right. At every turn, he's got to be like, okay, he's got a mother box. He's doing fine. Okay, he's got another mob on the rocks. He's doing okay. You know, he gets that third one basically by accident. But it's like, hey, he's got the third. And at that point is when Darkseid should be like, okay, I'm going to come through. I'm going to smush these things together and I'm going to take over this world. You know? But nope, he does not do that, because Darkseid is only watching. He only likes to watch at this point.
who's the guy that Steppenwolf's in contact with the whole time?
Desaad.
Desaad's like, I told you Steppenwolf would fail, which like Darkseid, me thinking, he's like, oh, you think You think I was wrong? You think hindsight 2020? All right, bitch, vaporized.
Yeah,
that's the dark
too.
Side I want to see.
Yeah, you die too. And then it's like, okay, Granny Goodness, who was the woman standing next to him that has no lines and is only seen. And if you didn't know anything about Darkseid, you obviously wouldn't know that that is Granny Goodness, who is like his right-hand woman. Mm-hmm. But in that part, it's when you go, okay, now I know Darkseid means some business. So now we can have our sequel set up. So now he's going to come back. We're going to do it the old ways or whatever the fuck, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the way that is, which seems exactly the same way as the new ways.
But I guess the old ways is Darkseid goes. The new ways is he sends his retarded uncle to go.
Right. He does it himself.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to use his dumbass uncle to go.
Yeah, God damn it, Mike.
Gotta be
PC. More insensitive. First with the coon, then with that word. God damn it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the old ways is apparently Darkseid getting the job done, you know, as opposed to like outsourcing it to somebody who definitely couldn't handle the job. But, and because that's the thing, Darkseid knows what happened last time he went to Earth. He has to, like you said, it's one of his only defeats. He had to have known. So it's like he has to remember that shit. So what did he do? Is Steppenwolf like, has he gone rogue? Has he been like, you know what? It's about time I got around doing this punishment, my penance from my nephew. You know what? I'm gonna do the thing that he couldn't do. And that's kind of what he does. Like, that is his story, that he's gonna take over Earth and be like, hey, Darkseid, look, I found the anti-life equation. I defeated these monkeys. So now you can take over this primate-ridden planet, and that's it. But no, it's more along the lines of he starts that way, and then all of a sudden he's kind of like, oh, I can't do this. I'm gonna die in this fight. And Darkseid's like, yeah, it's kind of the plan too, you know.
And now, not to keep comparing it to the MCU, but guess what? DCEU, you came second, so you get compared to the better universe.
I mean, you kind of have to in this case. It's the two major comic houses with two major movie franchises, one of which did it well, the other did not, you know.
So Thanos in the MCU, he at least doesn't actually work this way, but he at least seems like he has a morality to what he's doing.
Yeah.
He wants to take out half the universe so the other half can thrive. Not enough resources for the amount of people.
Yes.
Supply lines is how that actually works. There's plenty of resources for people. Bad supply chains is why that is fucked, but whatever. He has a morality to it.
As the supervillain and the ultimate threat, his plan has to be a little more arch than just setting up a better chain of command for food, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then you get Darkseid, who is just like, oh no, I wanna rule everything. I powerful evil guy, I destroy and rule.
Yeah. It's Darkseid is very much, you know, he's the all powerful, like ultra mega powerful being, but he's very much of the just want to conquer and rule the ashes type of villain, you know. It's mm-hmm. like rebuild in my vision, kind of like standard comic book villain, which is, you know, destroy the universe and make it my own kind
of. Darkseid did come before Thanos in the comics, and Thanos is pretty much a copy of Darkseid, and in the comic books, Thanos' actual priority is he wants to kill half of all life so he can bone Lady Death.
Yeah, he can fuck Death herself. Yeah, that's always fun when you remember that one. And try to think about the MCU doing
that. And then he gets his girl stolen by Deadpool.
Yeah. Yeah, and then try to think of the MCU doing that, and it's like, wow, that would have been interesting.
But yeah, no, when you're comparing the movie franchises, Darkseid does, like, I still want to see the sequel for this, but in terms of, okay, Thanos has, like, when a villain has a morality to it where you can almost say, like, I see where they're coming from, mm-hmm. They're a better villain.
Yeah, you want to somehow, you don't want to necessarily sympathize with the villain, but you absolutely want to understand them.
Yeah.
And Darkseid has always been the just take over everything.
He's a force of nature, essentially.
Yeah, just take over everything kind of villain. And last night I rewatched, because the difference between Marvel and DC when it comes to their movies is the animated movies. DC's animated movies are far and away better than Marvel's, because Marvel just kind of chucks some people together and throws a story on, and DC's actually like, okay, let's faithfully adapt some comic shit into a fully animated.
Would you think version. Being owned by Disney, they'd have the animators to spare for Marvel?
You'd think so, yeah. But with this one, I watched last night, because I was on HBO Max, like, you know, fucking around, and I came across Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. Now, it's very much this Snyder Cut story. It is, Darkseid is essentially, this time he's out for revenge, because he knows that Earth is always the place where he loses, you know? And Superman very much wants to fuck up Darkseid, because the last couple times he hasn't been able to. And of course, things go wrong. Darkseid actually wins. And like, shit goes down after that. And our heroes have to fight. They have to reclaim Batman from being on Darkseid's side of being brainwashed. The Flash is powering Apocalypse on a treadmill. You know, it's, Cyborg has been fully integrated into Apocalypse's like mainframe. Like, there's all kinds of shit going on. Superman has had liquid kryptonite branded into him, so he has no powers really anymore. And it's all of this shit that would have been awesome to see. Now, the irony, again, in a movie full of irony, is this is the story that I think Zack Snyder is trying to tell with the nightmare sequences in Batman versus Superman and the end of this movie.
Yeah.
And the blip that Cyborg sees too. That's the story he's trying to tell. And that would have been Justice League 2, I think.
Yeah. And now this brings me up. So if you had to make the comp to one movie in the MCU with the Snyder Cut, what movie do you think it lines up with? Because I think there is a clear pick.
I mean, I'm going to go with Age of Ultron.
That's what I was thinking.
Just because of all of the MCU movies, aside from maybe Civil War upon rewatch, because when you rewatch Civil War, you go, wait a minute, not much of this makes sense. Like, there's a lot of this story could be a lot different and changed by like one or two lines, or if somebody just acted normally, you know. But when it comes to Age of Ultron, there's a lot of shit going on in that movie, and there's a lot of setting up for different movies, especially the whole Thor sequence when he's in the, like, the magic hot
tub. And then the Tony Stark nightmare sequence. Yes, that
exactly. But that part, the way they do that actually makes sense in Age of Ultron, because he touches a piece of alien technology and sees a vision of the future. Whereas in this, it doesn't really go, it's a dream again that Bruce Wayne keeps having.
Yeah.
We don't know why he's having these dreams, because he does it in Batman versus Superman as well. And it's like, we never get an explanation for why this is happening. He's just having nightmares. And so the very real possibility that the Avengers could all be massacred is what Tony Stark sees.
Yeah.
Batman just has a nightmare, you know? Like, it's just a nightmare. That's all it is. And it could very well be something that somebody like Bruce Wayne would dream about, because he's lived a horrifying life at this point. So it really makes sense that all that shit would be in his
brain. Did you ever see the thing where it's like, what mask would you pick? And it's like, you have the Batman mask, the Darth Vader mask, the mask from the mask, right. A bunch of different masks. And it's like, they're like, if I pick the Batman mask, do I get all his money? They're like, no, but you do get to be an orphan.
You will never have to celebrate Mother's and Father's Day ever again. But then, I mean, there's, again, and I say this, you know, again, exasperated sighs and noises. Again, I say this as someone who actually liked this version of the movie, you know, comparing it to the theatrical cut, it is light years ahead of it, just because it makes a Zack Snyder type of sense.
Yeah, and it tells a cohesive story to a degree.
Yeah, and it's clearly made by someone who misunderstands the characters he's using, but cares about his versions of those characters, if that makes sense at all. You know, it's, he doesn't understand Superman, which is why Man of Steel is a humorless slog. You know, he doesn't understand Batman because he understands Batman as if he was a 13-year-old in the 90s. You know, that's what he thinks Batman is. He thinks Batman's just this like dark edgelord. And then in this, it's almost as if he were given all of these great characters and someone said, okay, you have all of these characters to work with. You can literally throw Martian Manhunter in there if you want. Throw in the Atom that no one knows about, not the Ray Palmer version.
Why wasn't Green Lantern in this?
Yeah, throw a couple lanterns in. They don't make it Hal Jordan or John Stewart, but use some of the other Green Lanterns in this movie, you know?
So I used to love the Justice League animated TV show when I was a kid. That came out as late 90s, early 2000s, probably would have been.
Yeah.
Which version, which Green Lantern was in that?
That is, I think might be John Stewart. I think John Stewart is that one. The black guy, basically, if anybody, you know, isn't familiar with the Green Lanterns, it's the black Green Lantern, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't think Hal Jordan's in that.
Yeah, it was definitely not Hal Jordan.
Yeah, I don't think Guy Gardner's in it either. But there's also a lot of that one, because then there's Justice League Unlimited, which is essentially like the younger versions of like all of the characters. So you get Robin, you have, which is Tim Drake, I think. And then you get like Superboy, you get Aqua Girl, you get Supergirl, you get a lot of like the younger versions of the big guys, of like the big characters, where you get like Wonder Girl instead of Wonder Woman, you know, you get, but then the big guys actually show up at some point too, but they do like do their little bit roles.
Wait, speaking of like animated superhero shows, have you watched Invincible on Amazon Prime yet?
No, but coworker of mine was
fucking awesome. Amazing. I'm gonna read the comic books after watching that, like after having
coworker watched of mine said it was really good too.
And it's J.K. Simmons plays
I heard Nolan about Grayson. That. Yeah, he's like, he's kind of like the Homelander of the show, basically.
So having read some of the comics, not quite.
Because he's not a good guy.
No, but he's not. Homelander is kind of like, I'm powerful and popular, so I can do what I want. And that isn't what Omni-Man does.
Okay.
I'm not going to spoil anything on the podcast, because from what I've read, it sounds like an awesome character arc for him.
Oh, I bet. And there's Zay. Hi, Zay. Sorry, my cat just jumped up on top of the back of my chair. But it's... And that's the thing with Zack Snyder. Now, we're at the point where we've discussed all the insane shit that we've discussed in the entire movie.
Oh, also, fuck the Jared Leto Joker.
I was going to say, I think we should get into that now, which is the nightmare scene at the end. Now, the epilogue scene. The epilogue is just a combination of all the post-credit scenes that would normally be in one of these, in like a Marvel movie. And it's just the post-credits. It's all the bonus scenes at the end of the theatrical cut. Because it's the Deathstroke Lex Luthor scene. It's hold on, I have them all like here. I have them all written down, because there's about 14 different sequel setups in all of the end of this movie. Now
there's more endings than the final Lord of the Rings and and Face Off and
It's okay. All right, so here we go. Okay. So we have the Aquaman setup, which is what it would have been. It had, again, had to come out when it should have. We have the Atom setup, which is the Ryan Choi setup. It's the Asian guy that works with Miles Dyson, a.k.a. Joe Morton, a.k.a. Cyborg's dad, a.k.a. The inventor of the Skynet. And then there's the Justice League 2 setup, obviously. Then there's the Flash setup, because Flash is... Okay, we have also have to kind of mention how stupid Ezra Miller looks running.
Yeah.
He looks like he's speed skating, and it's so stupid. And then we have the Man of Steel 2 set up with the pregnant and or married Lois and Clark, you know, shirt rip and all that kind of shit. Like where Clark's like in the street and he sees some shit and then he runs and he rips open his shirt, blah, 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 whatever. But then we have the Cyborg setup, which should have been the other way around. It should have been Cyborg sets up Justice League.
Yeah, because this was basically this movie was Cyborg.
And then of course we get the Batfleck setup with the Dark Knight Returns tank that he's standing on. That tank is straight out of Dark Knight Returns. And I was like, holy shit, Snyder actually read something other than, you know, the 90s comic book with Batman. It's like, holy shit.
That's with Batman in these movies, like, it seems like, so Batman almost seems overpowered in the comics with how smart he is. In these movies, they're like, oh, he's smart, but Darkseid would fucking kill him.
Yeah, because it's a human versus a god, you know? And Darkseid doesn't have the weakness that Superman does. He doesn't have kryptonite. There's, you know, with the Flash, there's no, you can't freeze him by slowing him down kind of shit, you know? It's all kinds of shit like that. Then there's the Wonder Woman 2 setup. It's like, what's she going to do? And I would
Wonder Woman 84 is what she's going
to. Yeah, I would be much more interested in whatever Zack Snyder had in plan for Wonder Woman 2 than whatever the fuck Patty Jenkins calls Wonder Woman 84 with that garbage. But then, of course, there's also the Injustice League setup that, you know, Lex Luthor and Deathstroke have. There is no the Joss Whedon line of, they have a Justice League, so why don't we have an Injustice League? You know, there's not that line, but the setup is the same. It's, hey, Deathstroke, Batman is Bruce Wayne. Why don't we do some evil shit together? You know, that's there.
I mean, a Young Justice setup would have been cool.
Yeah, you know, something like that. But then, of course, there's the biggest setup of all, which is essentially the bigger Justice League 2 setup, which is the quote-unquote nightmare sequence at the end of the epilogue, where it's Batman in his duster and trench coat and his goggles like he was in Batman versus Superman. Then there's Deathstroke with a mohawk because we know time has passed. He has a different haircut. There is the Flash from the Bruce Wayne sleeping scene where he comes through time and says Lois is the key in Batman versus Superman. We have much more British Mira, who's all pissed off that she's got to kill Superman for whatever he did to Arthur. And then we have Cyborg in a poncho. And then, of course, we have Mike's favorite actor of all time and his favorite character of all time, Jared Leto as the Joker, reprising his role. And he's got all of the lines in this scene because it's just him ad-libbing, because apparently that's what Jared Leto did in this scene that Zack Snyder filmed and added on. Because you can tell the way it's edited that the only people that may have ever seen each other were Ben Affleck and Jared Leto. Mostly Jared Leto, but he does one of the things, and it's one of the things that the Joker would do were he not, you know, the Jared Leto version. He calls Mira a fish stick and a smelly flounder. Now that's some shit the Joker would say. But then of course they have to pontificate about Batman having experienced loss with a sidekick, adopted son, or a blah blah blah, and it's oddly enough, it's better than the shit in Suicide Squad, but it's still not good.
Now, what I would love with like the whole Superman thing is if we went the Injustice route where Superman's like, the only way Earth will be safe if they live under my Iron Fist, and he kills Shazam.
Yeah. And it's, if it was just the storyline of that first Injustice video game, that would have been pretty great. Like Emperor Superman or whatever it was, which you remove Darkseid from the equation, I think is what Snyder is going for here.
Yeah.
And it sort of makes sense, except it doesn't, because then you're like, wait, what? How the fuck did Lois Lane die? You know, it's what the fuck went wrong that she died and Superman somehow turned on the Justice League. Like,
unless you go Darkseid route, Darkseid kills Lois Lane, then go Emperor Superman.
And the way that Darkseid is, he's very much the type of villain that would kill Lois, frame Batman, and then try to, you know, recruit Superman. But Superman being Superman would be like, you're fucking Darkseid. I'm not going to believe you. You
know? Which, I mean, like, with the whole Cyborg sequence with Darkseid, like, putting his hand on Superman's shoulder and stuff, what the fuck was that? Like, what are you even alluding to with that?
And how is Cyborg seeing it? We're basically given the impression that Cyborg's seeing it through the mother box, which the mother box can see anything, do anything. Okay, I buy that. But why is Batman's nightmare following along with this storyline? It's two different things. Batman.
Unless you're going to start telling me Batman's psychic, which would fuck up the character in all sorts of ways.
Right. I mean, and given that it's a movie version of Batman. Now, I have long ago come to terms with the fact that whatever Batman I see in the movies is not going to be completely what I see in the comics. Because in the comics, Batman does not use a goddamn gun no matter fucking what. And he doesn't kill anybody no matter what fucking what. Unless at one point he does shoot Darkseid with a bullet, killing him. So there, that's your exception to the rule.
imagine they bring in Santa because he is canonically in DC Comics. And
I thought he was in both Marvel and DC.
I think he is. There is a comic storyline where Santa every year brings Darkseid a piece of coal.
Right.
Yeah, but it's like, imagine Justice League 2 fighting Darkseid. They're about to lose, and who shows up but Saint fucking Nicholas, and he beats the shit out of Darkseid.
The whole battle takes place on Christmas Eve, and once midnight hits, guess who shows up? It's Santa, motherfucker, coming down your chimney to
beat Santa. Whacks him with his giant sack of presents.
No, it's for Santa. It's his giant sack. His presence have nothing to do with it. It's just a giant sack. But so, like I said, like long ago, I reconciled the fact that my movie Batman is going to be very different from my comic book Batman in the sense that movie Batman will kill anybody with anything. It's happened. It happens in every Batman movie. He kills somebody.
I won't kill you, but I don't have to save you. Yeah, that's murder, Batman. That's called
manslaughter, and you're not allowed to do that. But it's all of that's there, and especially with Zack Snyder's Batman, Affleck is good as Batman, but the thing is, his primary weapon is a fucking gun in this. Yeah. It's like, that's not Batman. You missed the fundamental part of Batman, you idiot. It's Batman versus Superman, you killed Mark Thomas and Martha Wayne, so you got the other fundamental part of Batman out of the way right away. But then you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stick a fucking gun in his hand because that's the Batman I see. And then everyone everywhere was like, that's not Batman.
So there's a Dorkly Bits is on YouTube. I think it's like part of College Humor, whatever owns College Humor. But one of the things was Batman is trying to find the Flash, and he keeps going to random kids' house. And he's like, "Okay, Barry," and he throws like the bat throwing knives at him, and he kills the kid. He calls up and he's like, "Alfred, Alfred," and he didn't send up a cleanup crew.
Yeah, Alfred would, in that case, Alfred would be like that that John Wick service where he makes a dinner reservation for 12. That just means he's cleaning up 12 bodies. And Jeremy Irons as Batman would definitely do that too, because he's you can tell he's done some shady shit.
Oh yeah, Jeremy Irons is awesome. Like Jeremy Irons is he's never fully good, I feel like. He's fully a good guy. Exactly. There's some darkness to him.
Absolutely, because it's Jeremy Irons, you know? But that's the problem with overall with this movie. It's yes, it is the Snyder Cut, which means it is the original vision of Zack Snyder for Justice League, which at this point is an Elseworlds movie. But of course, the internet being the internet, now the campaign is to restore the Snyderverse. So it's like bring Zack Snyder back, have him jump back at the helm of all this shit. And it's like, come on.
We're at recency bias where it's like the first movie you gave us was so shit that anything that was a slight improvement that you gave us, we're going to stand behind.
Right. And I have never been a fan of Zack Snyder. There was, of course, a time when I was obviously a younger man seeing 300. I was like, wow, this is aggro. This is so awesome. Dude's kicking ass. This is great. Then when you see it, when you're older, you're like, wow, this is fucking garbage. And then, of course, I will never, ever not remember the movie Sucker Punch that he did, which is essentially a rape fantasy. And the main character is constantly being raped in that movie. It's just never shown. And all of these women in this character in this movie are being constantly raped. And they have to escape to this little fantasy world where they have to live out a fantasy because it's the only way they can cope with constantly being raped. And it's like, okay, dude, you made this movie on purpose. So fuck yourself, you know? I am so sorry about the personal tragedy you suffered that made you walk away from Justice League. But still, go fuck yourself, because you shouldn't be filming movies because you put a goddamn rape fantasy in a 2-hour flick.
Now, my one Zack Snyder credit that I enjoy Watchmen to a degree.
Watchmen, in my eyes, is like the Snyder Cut. It's a self-indulgent slow-motion jerk-off fest that has no real merit. But at the same time, it's like you have a fundamental misunderstanding of the source material.
Yeah.
And that is his greatest fault. Zack Snyder, for all of his visionary, and he, I'll give him credit, he can set up an amazing looking shot with the best of them. He can make shit look cool as hell on screen. It's just when you have to add the rest of the movie, you know, like dialogue, story, and music, he fails horribly.
The music especially was awful.
Absolutely.
The score in the final battle was fine, except for, you know, Wonder Woman's fucking... It's like, you know what that song reminds me of? You ever watch the Spartacus TV show on Starz?
Like, no, and I think you might be the only one.
I probably am. I've watched 2 episodes of it, but that type of song always came on.
Oh yeah, like I said, it's like Enya, you know, it's the kind of stuff you hear in like a massage parlor, you know. It's like playing in the waiting room, like as you're waiting to go back, you know.
Not a nice massage parlor either.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of the more shady, but it's one of the more shady ones that's like trying to be like upscale for like up front. But when you get back there's definitely a menu of things that aren't a massage, you know.
Yeah.
But it's with this movie could have been, even though it is light years ahead, like I've said, of the theatrical cut, it could have done well with a good editor. Mm-hmm. Someone going into this movie and being like, okay, we can chop this part, we can speed this part up a little bit, we can get rid of this score,
but so help me, don't chop anything with Cyborg, because he is the best part of this fucking movie.
Right, like I said, you can get this movie down, Mike, you said about 2 hours and 40 minutes or so. I say you can get it to about 2.5. You can get to 2.5, you get rid of everything in the epilogue. I don't care, all of it. Just get rid of all of it, because the movie should end with a slow-mo shot. Any
fucking gratifying 3-minute long fucking establishing shot that he loves.
What it's the movie's natural endpoint is that slow motion shot of the Justice League standing victorious at the top of whatever, you know, bombed out crater that was in Russia or whatever it is. You get that slow-mo pan across all of them, and then guess what? That's the end of your fucking movie, right?
There. Yeah.
Just because
you could do like set up 2 movies in a mid credit and a post credit scene.
I know, because we live in a post MCU society. We definitely, if you want to throw in the Flash being happy or Cyborg actually listening to the tape that his dad gave him instead of, you know, crushing it like he does, that's fine. That will set up your random storyline, show everybody, you know, picking up the pieces or whatever the fuck. And then you can end it there. What you don't need is the goddamn nightmare sequence. That movie doesn't need to be made. It is not Zack Snyder's Suicide Squad. We don't need that movie. We are getting James Gunn's Suicide Squad, which is the one I definitely want
to
see.
I am looking forward to that.
It looks so good. I mean, especially with the fact that we got fucking Sly Stallone as King Shark. And?
Yeah.
That trailer, I recommend it. Watch it 1,000,000 times. It's so good.
I thought you were the peacekeeper. I'll do anything for peace. I don't care how many people I have to kill.
It's so good. I'll kill anyone who gets in my way. It's so good. And even that, like, it's like with like the whole thing, it's like if you fail to commit to this mission, you die. And then like I think it's like, you know, Idris Elba's like, if you fuck us over, you die. And then Harley's like, if we find out you have customized license plates, you die. Like, no, that's not one of the things. It's like, but that's that shit. That's obviously James Gunn understanding his characters and making them awesome. Yeah. Zack Snyder does not understand in any way any of these characters.
I thought you were the crazy one. I am. Yeah.
Like, I think the only character in the Justice League movies that Zack Snyder actually understands is Cyborg.
Yeah.
And he is the only one that he should have been allowed to make a movie for. He really is.
Really, Zack Snyder, if he take that Cyborg story and make it a feature-length film, I'm watching it, and that's a great movie.
Yeah, I don't. And then with that situation, you could lead into like a Teen Titans show.
Yeah.
Because that is what Cyborg is like the main part of. That's his team. Yeah. He's not the only, because in a New 52 and this movie, did Cyborg get added really to a main character of the Justice League. And he's so much better as a Teen Titan. Now, if you're going to do movies, you can do like the DC Universe show that's now, I think, on HBO Max. I don't know if it's continuing or not. I just know whatever they had on DC Universe has been ported to HBO Max. That Titan show.
Yeah.
You can age them up, and you don't have to make it Teen Titans. You can just make it Titans and make it the same characters, make them a little bit older so they can fuck if you want them to. They can, you know, show a little skin if you need them to, because it's R-rated. Whatever you want them to do.
Yeah, you can make Robin and fucking...
Okay. Yeah, they can do whatever the fuck you want, and that would be the better Cyborg route. That's the sequel setup right there. But with this movie, and the weirdest thing, and like everything I've said up to this point, it is contradicted by what I'm about to say. I actually want to see what Zack Snyder would have done with that nightmare.
Yeah.
I want to know where the fuck he would have gone with that shit.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like a train wreck. Like, I want to see where this is going.
Exactly. Like, I want to see just exactly. I want to see the events that lead up to that. I want to see the events after that. I want to see what the hell happened that all of these people are somehow put at Batman's feet as the reason why Superman is killing everyone, you know? It's like, what the fuck happened here?
Yeah, well, what went so wrong? And
exactly, like, who fucked up?
Who covered up the Joker's tattoos?
Or removed them. I want to know who that hero is that got rid of damaged off of his forehead, you know?
who did the laser tattoo removal?
Make that would be great if we had it like that was one of like Superman's things, where he's like torturing a Joker, but all he's doing is removing his stupid tattoos. It's like, you will live as a normal clown.
No. Imagine Joker falls in the same skin bleaching thing that Jack Nicholson's Joker fell into.
He just removes all of his tattoos. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what are we doing? You know, there's at this point with Zack Snyder and the Justice League and the Snyder Cut, it's almost like you said, a train wreck. It's like, I want to see just how weird you would have made this. And so, by default, it would have become probably kind of great just because somebody would have let you put it on screen, you know? It's like, it's a sequel, but it's also insane at the same time. It's not a Marvel movie where everything is micromanaged down to the Easter.
Yeah.
It would have been Zack Snyder's completely fucking crazy now, Justice League.
Now, with this movie, so I was talking to JR about it earlier, and he said he gives it a solid 7 out of 10. And my question following that is, what would you have given it if this was your theatrical release and you did not have that piece of crap to compare this to?
As a follow-up to Batman versus Superman, it's an improvement. As a movie itself, it's long, drawn out. If it's the 4-hour and 2-minute cut is what the theatrical cut was, if that was the kind of world we lived in, if that is what we got, I probably would agree that it's about a 6 or a 7.
I put it somewhere in the six range.
Yeah, it's by no means a perfect movie, but it's also by no means god awful.
No, there are some shining moments that make me wish, like, I wish we got a Zack Snyder theatrical cut.
I really do, and I'd be interested, you know, obviously, because, you know, history is what it is, and if you had a time machine to do all the things you could do. One of the things I would go back and be like, how much did Zack Snyder really have done when he had to step away? You know, because apparently, according to rumors and stories in him, he had like 96% of this movie done. Like, what did he not have shot that would have been important? Now, my guess would be the stuff that he shot to finish this off, which would have been Martian Manhunter and the Joker scene in the nightmare scene. So you don't need either of those.
No.
He could have put out a great theatrical cut.
Both of those detract from...
Yeah. No, I don't say great theatrical cut. He could have put out a very decent theatrical cut. And he, again, it would have been laughed off of screen, off of the out of theaters, like Batman versus Superman was, because it is insane to have a four-hour movie like this. Mm-hmm. But if you were to trim it like a Batman versus Superman length, like theatrical cut length, which is about 2.5, I think, you would probably have a very watchable, albeit sort of confusing, like bleached out, like washed out colors movie. It wouldn't have been fun to watch because just visually it looks like garbage, but you adjusted to have the color palette of the Whedon cut to make, you know, things actually a little bit vibrant. It probably would have been, you know, the Justice League that people could have been like, you know what? If this is the best we got, I'm okay with this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't be universally hated like the theatrical cut was.
And rightfully so. That shit's garbage. Especially because Joss Whedon can fuck himself.
Yeah. I don't have too much more to say on this. This is the longest we've ever talked about a single movie, which I argue should have been a 6-episode, 45-minute an episode miniseries.
Which, yeah. This should have been April and May. But yeah.
No, I mean the Snyder cut itself should have been a 6-episode 45-minute.
Oh, I thought you meant our show. I thought you meant we should have talked about it for 6 episodes for 45 minutes. Yes.
Oh no, I can't talk about DC that much. My inner Marvel fanboy would not allow it.
Yeah, and there's only so much you can talk about this movie without, you know, becoming the Snyder cut itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's yeah, I mean,
next on Happy Hour Films, we're gonna do a Let's Watch the Zack Snyder cut.
Do I recommend this movie? I mean, to people,
I guess.
Do people that aren't familiar? No, but do people, comic book fans? Yeah, you already have, but it's, you might as well watch it, because especially if you feel wronged by that theatrical cut, which...
Yeah, that's the main... If you saw the theatrical cut and feel like you need closure on that Justice League, watch this. It's a lot better.
If for no other reason than to try to get the, you know, the thought experiment down of why the fuck Mira has a British accent, you know?
Or if you just want to hear that catchy Wonder Woman theme song.
Goddamn Wonder Woman theme. Jesus Christ. Yeah, big. That's if I'm ever going to recommend anything for Batman versus Superman, it's her theme song in that.
Or if you simply miss Roose Bolton from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, if you need that guy to be in more things, and watch this. Watch him get blown to shit by Diana, you know, in front of school children. She annihilates a man in front of school children in this movie. And then turns and says, little girl, you can be anything you want to be. Oh, can I be a murderer like you, Diana? Sure. Why not?
She's 5,000 years old. Everyone's younger.
Yeah. Every guy's a younger guy. Yeah. So, that said, Mike, where can people find us on the internet?
All right. For your streaming pleasure, we are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, along with Anchor and every other source that Anchor puts us on. For Instagram and Facebook, we are Happy Hour Films Podcast. And give us a like, give us a follow, throw comments, shoot us a message. We love to hear from everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then obviously recently we'll promote it again on we'll give a little reminder post about our Cage Madness that happened in the month of March. But So the reason we even did the Snyder Cut is because the next person we're going to talk about is very much a comic book man, and he's literally a comic book man. If you've seen that, the AMC TV show that he produced and started in the first couple episodes of, we are going to go to one of New Jersey's filmmaking sons of Kevin Smith, Leonardo's own Kevin Smith. And we're going to do him for the month of April. Now, I hesitate to call this an April Fool's Month with him because he's not a fool. Some of his shit's kind of foolish, but, and maybe the man himself would call himself an April Fool. Who knows? But we being a New Jersey movie podcast cannot
It's avoid. About time we talk about Clerks.
Right. It's we have to talk about Kevin Smith. And
I can't wait to talk about Dogma.
Yeah, and don't have the schedule up, did we decide that we're going to go just in order?
I think so.
Yeah, we're just going to go in order. We're going to start from Clerks, and we're going to end at whatever you want to call Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I mean, it's...
Maybe we'll kick Tusk out.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Tusk might just get a brief mention. But, so, until next week when we talk about that and Kevin Smith and we get into the Smith April, I have been Ross Bacon.
I've been Mike McGuigan.
And we'll see you guys next time. So long.